There's some really interesting Torah here. We're going to speak about the Levush. The Levush was a Talmud. He's there in Poland. He's a Talmud in that world of the Ramah and the Yamshel Shlomo. And he wrote a Sefer called the Levush. In fact, there are different names of the Sefer, depending on which section you're talking about. It's on Halacha, at least the main sections that we talk about tend to be on Halacha. And he calls them, his name was Mordechai, or Mordechai Yafin. He's calling it based on the Pasuk that we say in Megillas Esther, where Mordechai Yatzam Lefnei HaMelech, Bilavush, Malchus, Tcheles, Vechor, Vechulei. So the Levushes he has with different names of the exact same. It's always called Levush, the clothing of. The first volume, the Levush HaRishon, is an Orachayim all the way up to Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos at the end is a second Sefer. A third Sefer is on Yeridaya. He has an Evan Ezer. He has an Choshen Mishpat. He was a fascinating person. He wrote Sfarim also on Mor Nevuchim. He wrote Sfarim in Sifrei Kabbalah. He was a very Sfarim on Rashi and Chumash and Drush. He was a prolific author and a fascinating person. The history of the Sefer and the Hakdama, I am very inspired by. I'm very inspired by the Hakdama because he describes what exactly he wanted to do. This is the time he's hanging out in the 1500s, 16th century. At that time, we have a lot of Sfarim that are being published. We have the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch. We have coming out, we have the Ramah is doing what he's doing, the Yamshel Shlomo. A lot of really important Halacha Sfarim that are being written then. And the Levush is a Marbitz Torah. And Levush also wants to write a Halacha Sefer. And he basically started different Sfarim. When he found out what was being written already, he then had to stop and reassess until he ended up sort of like doing his thing. So he writes, initially, he saw the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef was an amazing Sefer, very, very exciting. How much the Rezekiah was able to give, like, all of Torah there in the Beis Yosef. He said, you know what? I think it's a little bit too long, so I want to write a shortened version. I want to write a shortened version of the Sefer. So I'm going to start writing a shorter version of it. Then he hears that Yosef Cairo himself is going to write something called the Shulchan Aruch, which is a shortened version of the Beis Yosef. So he puts down that project. And he's okay, Then he sees the Beis Yosef, and he's like, okay. Now, then he sees the Shulchan Aruch. He's like, whoa, this is way too short. I guess I'll try to at least, you know, add some of the, like, Ashkenaz psak there in Shulchan Aruch. You know, I'll add my thing, and it's like, oh my gosh, the Ramah, it's great. The Ramah did this already. Now he's like, okay, so like, what do I do? So it looks like there's a tkufa where that's, I think, in the Hakdama they write, that's when he wrote his Sefer on Mor Nevuchim and his Sefer to the Sfarim, because he's like, he traveled different places. The story of his life is a little bit complicated, article in Yeshurun about it. He may have been the Rav in Prague after the Maharal. He's like trying to figure out exactly what to do. But like to keep himself almost like busy, he comes along and he writes this Sefer on, one thing like this, one second. He says, I know what the Beis Yosef writes in his Hakdam. I figured I'd write something shorter. But he says he ended up getting expulsion from where he was from. He got to a certain place. And he's in Prague, he's in Italy, he's in different places. And there he hears about, you know, what's going on. He says, I'm going to pull back. I'm going to pull back a little bit. Okay, he ends up sort of going back and forth. But he writes at one point, Biglau, that the Batalas Kasha Alai, I'm in Eretz Nachriya, I'm totally alone here. The Ein Ish Iti Mechaveri Mitalmida, I have no friends here and I have no Talmidim here that of what I'm used to. And Hoel v'kidmani rabosai b'chol asher yazamti la'asos. My Rebbeim basically did everything that I wanted to do already. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to choose a different derech, and I'm going to write on Shar Sfarim Eshel Amadati Minu Urai. I'm going to write another Sfarim to say for all about Kiddush HaChodesh, say for all about on Mor Nevuchim, Sifrei Kabbalah. He's trying to figure out exactly what to do. Eventually, he comes to the following conclusion. When he finally sees the Beis Yosef, and he sees Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, he's like, whoa. None of these things really work that well. The Beis Yosef is way too long. It's way too long of a Sefer for people to really go through and for it to be as accessible. He quotes so many Rishonim, it's so tricky. But then he's like, look at the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is way too short. Because the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, that's just like, they tell you what to do, but there's no explanation, there's no reasoning. I don't know anything. It just says what to do. So he's like, okay, I then realized, like, I have my Mahalach. What I'm going to do, I'm going to write the Sefer Levush. And the Sefer Levush is a standalone Sefer, which is in between the length of the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch. It gives you a bit more. In particular, he likes to quote the reasoning behind the dinim. as opposed to just being told what you do, he critiques like Shulchan Aruch Ramah. It's like Ki'ilu, it's all halacha l'moshe v'sinai. I'm going to give you like really specifics. I'm going to give you some of the details. He does not typically quote, I think, a lot of the shitas of who's this is the Rashba and this is the Rush, but he gives you the reasoning behind a lot of the dinim that are here. The Levush becomes a very popular sefer. It's reprinted several times. Even in the lifetime of the Levush, there's a second edition where he writes that there was the minhag, it looks like I think in Yushalayim, that people after Shacharis, people would learn the Levush. Because Levush was viewed as a great sort of middle approach of getting a lot of information, getting some of the reasoning, but also being able to cover ground, so it became very, very popular. A lot of the Levush also because, and related to its popularity, not just as a posek, there were people that wrote on the Levush whose names we are very familiar with from the Mishnah Berurah. So Eliyarabba is a commentary on the Levush. The Tofas Yontif wrote a commentary on the Levush. The Chida's grandfather, Rav Mazulai, also wrote in the Levush. A lot of different Sfarim that were written all on the Levush. And the Levush gets quoted a lot. The Sma, as an example, in Choshen Mishpat, quotes all the time the Levush. The Levush gets quoted by a lot of the poskim. Levush is a very, very important sefer in that sense. It happens to be, I think nowadays, I don't think I'm wrong about this, I have not seen that many people on Halacha Seder learning the Levush Keseder. It's more like when the Levush has a unique Shita, so then we'll look up the Levush. Or like the Eliyarabba, Eliyazuta, like then you'll look up one of the commentaries there on the Levush, if like the Mishnah Berurah quotes it or things like that. But typically, I think people are not learning the Levush Keseder the same way. There is a little bit of a famous Maisa about the Levush in two parts. One part, the Chavetz Chaim writes and quotes in the Sefer Nidchei Yisrael in Perek Lamed Gimel. The Chavetz Chaim is trying to give chizuk there, or is giving chizuk there, about the tremendous schar a person gets if they are protecting themselves from violating Isurim of Arayos. He quotes Rashi and Chumash in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, that Kedusha comes when you're Parish Min Ha'arayos. He writes that if you're Kadosh Milamata, because Baruch, according from Chazal, will be Mekadesh you, Milamala, that a person has the ability to get an enormous amount of Kedusha. And he writes as follows. V'nimtza b'sfarim al hagon bal ha-levush. There's a story about the Levush. This is a little bit well known. The second part, I think, is also well known. That we referenced in Shir a little bit ago, but we'll try to get the details down here. That the Levush was Zacha min ha-shamayim to write these incredible Sfarim. That line we found in a couple different places, like the Beis Yosef, the Ramah. That in order to write the kind of Sefer that would be a massive Sefer Klal Yisrael, it wasn't just a question of talent and ability. It was like, is there a Zchus min ha-shamayim that they're giving you the ability to be able to do so? So the story goes as follows. That the Levush, when he was younger, had a Nisayon Gadol. He was in a particular place with a woman. There, he was going to do some business there, work there, in a place with a woman. The woman basically locked him in the house in order to go, like Yosef HaTzadik type Maisa, in order to do something inappropriate with the Levush. The Levush was unable to escape. The only way that he was going to be able to escape would be if he would go Tachas Makom Beis HaKiseh. He'd have to, which in those days, without indoor meaning, he'd have to go under and basically crawl through this gross plumbing in order to be able to get out. Uvazet ubizas atzmo, and that's what he did. He went out and he came out and he was gross. V'nimlach derech oso makom habazo. He climbed through that gross place. At the time he was doing that, hayalavush az bekama mine begadim. He had a lot of layers of clothing on at that particular time. He got his clothing all growth. V'yilachlich es kulam. And says the Chavetz Chaim, ulekach zacha acharkach min hashamayim lechibor halavushim. And that's why his svarim were called the Levush. It was because of his dirtying that clothing that he was zocha to his svarim called the Levush. Meaning it wasn't just like based on the pasuk of Mordechai Lavash, but the Levush in that kind of a way. There are other explanations also, but that's that. The Mesorah that they say, I think on Wikipedia they quote this from Breslov Tzadik, I think. But I heard Rabbi Friend many years ago, I was in Neir Yisrael for Shabbos, and Rabbi Friend said this Maisa over Friday night, that apparently the Levush was incredibly good-looking. That would explain the background to the story as to why the one wanted to be with him. Incredibly, incredibly good-looking. And the Levush came along, and the Levush apparently davened that he did not want to have any of his descendants having this particular nisayon of good looks. So he davened that all of his descendants should look incredibly ugly and disgusting. So he davened that all of his descendants should look really gross so that no one would ever want to violate Arayos with them. So they tell the Maisa over, I think it's maybe been 50 years ago, whatever it was, that there was a guy, again, I think it's from one of the Breslov people, that he was learning in Eretz Yisrael, And he saw this guy learning with was like amazingly good looking, amazingly good looking. And his father, I guess, maybe he was like, I don't know, Parents' Day or something, father-son learning, or whatever you call it. And the kid and his father came in, and the father looked like momish gross, like really not so good looking. So I guess, you know, you're amongst good friends, you can have a good time. And it's like, what's the deal? You're so good looking. And so he said, we are descendants of the Levush. And the Levush davened that for 10 generations we should all be. That was the tefillah of the Levush, but that should be 10 generations of it was. And I am the first generation that is not chal, that particular thing, which is why he was so good looking. But my father, in Hanami, genetically, he should really be good looking. That's a shaila. When the Levush davened, did he change the underlying genetic makeup? Or did he not change the underlying genetic makeup? Kanirah, Lefidus Maisa, the genetic makeup was the same. It was just that they had to nevertheless not be that good looking. And then Mimela, where, you know, so if you ever see a really good looking guy, and don't ask. But there is nevertheless, the Levush, very, very, it's important Sefer to be aware of. It's published separately. Meaning, it's not like a Sefer on Shulchan Aruch directly. It has a simanim, but it's not like a commentary on Shulchan Aruch. It's its own Sefer that has on it certain mefarshim, which you don't, again, Mishnah Berurah quotes a lot of quotes from it all the time. Post can quote from Levush all the time. There are times where it's helpful to look up a Levush. They just reprinted, I guess, I don't know, a bunch of years ago, they reprinted a new edition of Levush that definitely Kedai to be aware of.